Session number 16721, it's Edward Greig, reel 10.
Mr. Greig, reel 10. Was there a great deal of this physical rivalry between units and armies, Mr. Greig?
Well, not a lot, but, you know, you got this little bit difference. It was fun and games, like, you know, but on the whole, you respected each other, you know.
But when you left Rangoon, about what time would this be? What date?
Oh, about the beginning of November.
What do you recall of the journey back home?
Well, on the journey back home, we had some... The funny side of things was we had some Navy lads that had been on these torpedo boats, you know. And them lads were seasick, hanging out the portholes. With being on rough, the fast boats and hoyed up and down, when they got onto a steady boat, it upset them, you know. On the boat, there was a lot of prisoners of war that were coming back home. Another funny side of that, on that ship was new uniforms for us lads, but they were given to the prisoners, you know. We ended home in dapple grey overcoat, made of blankets and stuff like this. That stuff that they should have had, you know. But we got a laugh, you know.
What date did you arrive home?
Oh, it'd be probably about November, something like that, you know. Around the back end of November.
1945. Where did you go to?
To Liverpool.
And from there?
And from Liverpool, we went to West Hartlepool, which was the Holland Battalion.
What kind of reception did you get?
Oh, we got at West Hartlepool, we got a good reception. When we were marching up to the different halls and that we were billeted in, you know, the people were lining the streets and having a good old cheer, and when I seen some of the raggy lads with these fancy coats on and that, you know. And of course, when we got into where we were sleeping for the night, we went to the local pub and the free pints were great. And when we were there, we got all re-kitted up and that, you know, and brightened up. Then we come home on leave.
Coming home on leave, was it unexpected? Did they expect you back home?
Oh, no.
What was the reception like then?
Well, at the Holland Battalion, West Hartlepool, when we got up here and passes and everything, you know, there was trains from there to Newcastle. And when we got to Newcastle, that station was full. And it was one of the hardest things in my life I've ever had to do. Because when we got off the trains, there were people there, and they were asking, have you seen Billy such and such? You know, Tommy him and that. And you knew in yourself that he wouldn't be coming, you know. And all you could say, well, there's another train following up, you know. But you couldn't tell them. And, you know, you were full up. And I think some of the old years they realised you were trying to soften the blow, you know.
These must have been people who sons were missing, or missing, presumed killed.
Just on hope.
There was still that doubt, wasn't there?
That hope that they'd be there. Like.
But you knew that they weren't.
You knew certain names.
Were you personally asked to, if you'd seen anyone?
Oh yes, I was. Women, you know, get all your hands, you know, and give you a hug, and then who would approach the subject, you know.
So they must
be. Some of them you say, oh, hi, he's on this train somewhere. Then all of a sudden he was there, and, you know, and so the geek is, thanks for that, for letting me know, you know. But there was some that you couldn't.
So they must have been down at the station meeting every train.
That's it. Just on chance. This cousin, I was telling you that I met the cousin. I've talked to him for about a quarter of an hour. Anyway, joined his company, went in. Never seen the lad since. Now, his uncle used to come through regular to see me mum. Do you know what?
No.
Well, when I got home, he was there. And from that day to this, well, he's dead now, but there was a bit of remorse, like I had come home and his son hadn't.
It must have been very hard for them to see
this,
the close relative there.
This is it, like. And another thing about this cousin, when he joined up, he gave his wrong age. He was 18. He said he was older. But, you know, and there's all these.
What was his name?
Flowers.
Was he in the Durhams?
In the Durhams, in the 2nd Battalion. The memorial plaque in the Durham Cathedral, his name's on there.
How did your parents receive you? Were they not expecting you when you arrived?
Oh, well, we phoned, phoned and got a message to them, like. But, as I say, when you got off the bus at the top of the street, near us, by the time you got to the door, well, yeah, parents, well, there was just me mum and sisters. I lost me dad when I was 14, you know. And when you're halfway down the street, they were up to meet you, you know. Totally.
It was the bunting out and the flags?
The flags, well, not so much as the previous war, like. And it's when you start getting out and all the neighbours and you're getting come in for a cup of tea and things like that. Into the local pubs, you know, when he got in. It was great, man. You saved a little bit pumping money. Like one sergeant, I forget his name, his dad had a pub in South Shields. And my brother-in-law, he was home on leave when I got home. And we went down to this pub, Fletcher's they called it, the manager. In the pub, Fletcher's was a good pub for the army, like the soldiers, they all went there, you know. And when I went in, the old bush had, you know, he was straight over. And sergeant, he's be here any time. And hardly got the words out of my mouth when he come in. Of course, when he seen me again. Oh, we were singing and dancing all night. Great.
Was there any official recognition of you coming home through the council, anything like that?
Oh, yes. I've got a scroll thing I got off the Jarrow Council, signed by the mayor, and that welcomed us home, thanked me for what we've done for the country and what have you. And we got a little something. It was 7 and 6. 7 and 6, you know. This was appreciation, like. I still got that scroll. I haven't got the 7 and 6. When you nowadays, when you hear what happens, you know, what they get money wise and things like this. There's a chap from Liverpool, when we go to York, the Kahima Remembrance, he's doing a similar thing like you about the 2nd Battalion. His brother was in the 2nd Battalion and got killed in Kahima. But he was on about Loss of Earnings. He says, when you went into the army, you got shilling a day. That's 14 shillings a week. Now then, some of you have been earning more than that. So you were losing them extra earnings, you know. And it was sensible what he was talking about, but they get it nowadays, but the country would be broke if I had to repair little things like that, like. But it still niggles you, like. Especially when you're retired. And
you didn't get any counselling and things like this after all you've gone through.
No.
Had the experiences of the jungle had any effect upon you in any way?
Oh, well, the climate, the heat and that. I mean, in the middle of summer, you're going out with your overcoat on. In this country, of course, this is your blood. Like, when you get in hot country, it changes, you know. When you come back into the colder countries, it's got to thicken up and have to match up, you know. Of course, you got out there, you got a lot of curry and stuff like this. This tones your blood up to fight the heat. This is the idea of the curry, like, you know.
So it was just basic climatic changes which you found
that's
difficult.
Right.
There was no kind of emotional or psychological changes.
Well, when you dreamt at night when you're in bed and you'd wake up with a sweat on. It was there, you know. And you said, okay, you're home now, man, you know.
But you were reliving?
Reliving things, you know.
How long did this go on?
Oh, it's still there. It's still there. There's times that now, just odd times, I wake up and you never forget it. Memories.
How long were you at West Hartlepool?
Oh, from West Hartlepool, after I leave, well, I had to report back to Bransford. When we got there, we were put in this, what they call a pool. It was a platoon. And this is where we start finishing while we served. What a wait, probably about a month. Tell you, demob number come round, you know. I was 28 demob number, and you wait there till your demob number come out, then they're sent it to Sedgefield.
Did you find it difficult in that period of time in Bransworth? Presumably, you're just drilling or passing the time away. Did you find it difficult getting over that time, looking forward to demob?
Oh, no, this platoon we were in, we parade as far as marching and stuff like that. At that time, there's a lot of these young lads in doing the 2 year stint, you know.
National service.
Of course, we were colonels to them, you know, but this platoon were at, like, employee jobs, you know. We used to go to Hartlepool and with a 3-ton wagon and fetch a load of coke back. For the fires and that, you know, come to Newcastle and get the rations. If you weren't out doing a job like that, you were doing jobs around the camp. Down to the castle and making coke nuts for the fire. And there was an ATS camp down there. The girls that in the cookhouse, they were working in the cookhouses, you know, at the camp. You got some funny jobs, like drains stuffed up. I'm not sure what with, but, you know.
But it's pretty much an odd job, kind of.
That's right. That's it.
Did you find that you were being commanded by people who'd never been abroad, never done any fighting?
Oh, no.
It just didn't occur.
Oh, no, no. And while you were there, you got your weekends off. You were, well, Saturday at the time, you were at home, back for Sunday, you know. Now then, all the young lads, on the last job we done on a Saturday was to Newcastle, to Fennel, for the weekend rations. When we got back and got them off into the stores, we were way up, washed and dressed, and back down to the stores. An MP, 1500 weight was there, collecting there, rations. And right, lads, I lift down to Durham, and we hop in the back there. All the young lads were queuing up waiting to go on the weekends, you know, but we used to just drive past them, down to the bus station at Durham. And the MPs used to drop off. Right, lads, get yourselves away home. But these young lads, the National Service lads, you know, they were there and had to stand in front of the mirror, put their hats on straight and that before the regimental police let them, you know. And we used to laugh, but we had it.
They're much more lenient with
oh, yes, that's it. But you got them. The sergeants and all that, you know. Move over, let these soldiers through. You know, you could.
What date were you demobbed?
About 7th of May, 46.
What was the procedure?
From Bransmouth, they moved us to Sedgefield, and we were in a camp there. Probably for two or three days. Then we had to go in. These long stores, you know, and they give us our demob book, full of pages. And you went to the first clerk, and someone can stamp on and pull the page out. Then you went to the next fella. Hey, what size hat do you take? Get a trilby if you want the trilby and all. And you went down the line, and when you got to the end, you had just a toolbox with a book, you know. I've got it here. And, of course, you got a, we got a post office book, you know, with a gratuity in, a large amount. It was £78. £78.
For what, 5 years of war?
For 5-6 years of war. Which would be a little bit extra, a lot of money in them days, like, but not a great lot.
Did you have a medical before you left?
No, I can't say. Can't remember having a medical, you know. I mean, you got regular medicals, you know, as we call them, short arm inspections. But not a one, you know, may actually is out like a medical, you know. Yeah.
Did you receive anything from the king or the government to thank you for your service at all?
No. Nothing.
Just the local council that you referred to.
Right. Well, from the divisional commander, I got a scroll from the second division, But not every man got that. The fires that make out, I mean, Martin, he got wounded in Kohima. Any lads that got wounded in Kohima and didn't rejoin the battalion, you know, they never received any like that. It was just men that were with a div right away through.
After demob, you'd go home. Did you? What happened to you then?
Well, about a month's leave we had. Then at the end of the month, you had to register unemployed.
Did you get a job pretty quickly?
Well, you could have started work straight away, but I had that month leave and I enjoyed it. Then I went up to the Labour Exchange and there was a job going at down on a trading estate, biscuit firm. They were in an old church hall and they were waiting for new factories to be built, you know. And I went down there and I got to start as the army driver mechanic. I was in the army. I was employed as the maintenance mechanic for the delivery vans. And I was 8 years. That's where I met the wife. And that's what me wedding, me gratuity that I got, the best part of that, covered the wedding, you know.
Did you find it difficult settling into civilian life?
No, yeah. I mean, the workers, the lads that, those lads that had done the national service, you know, and or being in the forces, and that spirit's still there with you. And
you've kept in touch with the Veterans Association?
Oh, yes. I was with this biscuit firm about 8 years. Apart from maintaining the vans and that, if I shot the driver, I went out delivering, you know, up to Scotland, down south, all over the country. Then, they were waiting for this new factory to be built, 3 or 4 stories on the trading estate. The railways even put a branch line down for it. When the government, forgetting his name now, this industrial minister, MP, he just allowed Cripps, I think it was, he just allowed girders to be made for single story buildings. See? The firm, Meredith and Drews, that's the firm I was with, they wanted a 4-story thing, you see, crisps and biscuits. Well, it fell through. Then I had to get out of this old church. They wanted to pull it down when they were making a trade in this estate. And we moved up to Fallon in an old corrugated shed thing. Then we were talking about the other biscuits used to come up from Leeds, Brickhouse, that area, you know. They decided rather than the biscuits used to come up by road into the warehouse and we kept stocks, you know. But eventually they closed this place at this end and the vans were loading up and delivering from there, from Leeds and Brickhouse areas, you know. So I finished there and I've come down into the train estate and there was a factory, Morganite Resistors. I went in there and asked, and I was talking to the works engineer, and he says, "Oh," he says, "I've got a job going." He says, "And one day go up and get a card from the Labour Exchange and come down and see me." And I come down and got the card and come down, and it was in maintenance, oiling and greasing the machines, the presses, and that, you know. And when I come down, and that interview I had was with one of the directors, who he was in charge of the stores, dispatching and things like this. Like, and he knew the boss where I worked, you know. And he started this, like, oiling and greasing. Then I was on that for two or three months. When he sent for us, this director, like, and he says, how would you like to come into the stores, packing and dispatching and that? And I says, great, I'll give it a try. So I went in, ended up in eventually in charge of this packing and all the foreign exports and things like that. And, you know, I could nail cases up about 16 nails in a couple of minutes. Tick, 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 tick. And I was there 31 years.
What was the worst time in the army for you?
Fighting? Or, well, I couldn't say the worst time. In the hospital with malaria, but the worst part of that, I knew nothing about it. No. The fighting. Yeah, he just got stuck in. Then when the fighting eased off and that, well, then you. But, army, in the army, well, from start to finish, it's one routine. If you kept your nose clean, you.
What was the strongest memory you've got of army life?
Memory of the army, well, your mates. You had close mates with you all the way. You lost your closest pals, you lost them on the way. But it's the fellowship. The fellowship in the forces. You can be in the army. After the wars, you've got to be in a war, in battles, to get this fellowship, this feeling. You'd give your life for any soldier. That's in trouble. And this, it's wonderful feeling, mate.
And this carried you through the worst aspects.
Oh yes, I mean the first enemy I've seen. Well, what I've seen, you know. My hair just, and it was a little voice says, kill or be killed, and that's it. You know.
Do you remember your close friends from time to time? Are they still with you?
Oh, yes. Who
died, of course? Who killed?
There's a lot of them passed on, but I've still got a sprinkling. One of my closest friends was, he was called Frankie Barr, and he lived at Streatham by Raby Castle. And his dad was head groomsman for the Lord there, whoever he was. And I remember when we come home, I went over to see Frank, and I had to get off the bus and go to the lodge. I went to the lodge, inquired, and it was his old grandmother or something like that that was in that lodge, and they directed me to the house, and I went into the house, a lovely house, you know. And there was Frank, come in, Ed, and I met his mum and dad, lovely big log fire on, and I was sitting on a cup of tea with them, and not my heads off when Well, I can't remember her name, was the lady of the manor. She'd come in with a big woman she was. Hello, Frank, is this Eddie? Is this your file you've been telling me about? And she'll shake me, I'm nearly pulling it off, you know. Great.